talking to his people, Israel, is very concerned. And he lets them know it through the man of God. And he tells the preacher, this is what I want you to say. He never did say, preacher, I want you to get some opinion on this. Or I want you to get a group together to consider this. He just said, this is what I want you to say. Now, you know God never asks our opinion on what he says. He never does. And did you know that we don't always agree with God? You don't. I don't. We don't always agree with God because my ways are not his ways. His ways are high above mine. And so as God is speaking to Israel, I think today we ought to put America in that. And I think if we'll compare Israel and the state of Israel at that time to the state of America today, we'll see that there was a nation in crisis. And they had to make some decisions. And then if we'll bring that over to today, we'll see that we have a nation in crisis. And we've got to make some decisions. Now, I'm not asking your political affiliation. I really don't care. I really don't. I'm not asking who you're voting for. I'm not asking your opinion on anything. I'm just going to tell you what God says. Amen. And then I'm going to compare what God says to what I'm going to do and what I think. Amen. And I would advise everybody in this room to do the same thing. Now let's look at what he said in Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now he's fixing to give them some bad news, but he said, but God's still listening. He'll still save you. He's still there. Look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. For the sake of time, you ought to read it all, but skip down to verse 12. He goes on, he describes the way they are, but in verse 12 he says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. He's talking about the Lord. And our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In trespassing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgments turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. He that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. What a picture of a nation that was so close to God, and now their whole life is a lie. Now as we study this and read this, there's two ways you're going to see it. Number one, the way most of us have already seen it, is individually. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now we know that individually. We put our our picture right in that passage and say, Lord, you're talking about me. I have transgressed. I have lied. I have deceived. I've let you down, Lord. I've failed you, and I need a Savior. Most of us in this room one day came to that conclusion. Can you say amen? But today I want to talk a little more. Now, if that's you, we're going to give you a minute to get that right. But corporately, as a group, as a nation, that's exactly where we are. That's exactly where our nation is today. Israel, listen, Israel, God had blessed Israel so much, and God had created Israel, and then God took care of Israel. And then God, on many occasions, rescued Israel and brought them back. And he'd rescue them, bring them back, and rescue them. And now they've got to this point that it's a nation in crisis. God says, if you don't do something, I'm going to do something. If your daddy ever looks at you like that and says that, you better do something. Amen? If your daddy looks at you and says, boy, you're in a heap of trouble, and you better do something, or I'm going to do something, you better get work. Amen? You better get to work and do something. And God the Father told that to Israel. One by one, the lights of decency are being blown out in America. One by one, the lights of the things that people used, that we used to do in darkness because we were ashamed of, now is out in the public eye. The lights of decency are being blown out. Isaiah warned Israel about their sins, and he said, your sins have created a wall between you and God. I don't know what you think about our country. I know about our country. I'm a history nut. I love history. And no matter what they tell you in public colleges and places now where the liberals have taken over, this was a nation founded on the Word of God, claimed by Christians. The first people here were Christians. And I know others came later, but the first people, the ones that formed this nation, were believers in the Word of God. And the lights are being blown out. Our sins have put a wall between us and God. World War I, the world thought that it was gone. And God raised up America, and people sacrificed, gave their money, gave tires, gave metal, gave everything. They had metal drives and tire drives and all that stuff, and they built tanks and guns and everything out of nothing, and God raised up this country to save the rest of the world, World War I. World War II, that's supposed to be the wars that did away with all wars, but World War II came along, and we stayed out of it, and we stayed out of it, and we stayed out of it till it was almost too late, and God raised up America. People went and joined the military, men and women, by the droves, and they joined and sent millions of people over there to rescue the rest of the world because God blessed America. And people at home prayed. And people at home went to church. And people at home read their Bible. And people at home claimed the promises of God because it was a God-fearing nation. And I'm afraid, just like Israel, God has looked at us and said, your sins, your iniquities, have put a wall between me and thee. I'm not hearing it anymore. The sins of the nation in Isaiah's day, I want you to look at verse 2 and 3. In verse 2, he says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Now, in that day, they had bloody hands. They had bloody hands. Do you know what that means? Murder. Killing people. Without a just reason. Now, there's a just for killing people. Genesis says that if a man take another man's life, he's to die by a man's hands. That's capital punishment. That's just. But they were being accused of unjust killing people and had blood on their hands. And we, in America, have blood on our hands. Isaiah 59, verse 3 says you've got bloody hands. Now, we've got politically motivated abortion. We've got politically motivated war. Amen. Just so some politician can promote themselves and move up the ladder, make more money, and make more deals. Well, our country, it has bloody hands every day. Just to please some crooked politician or some crooked business that's making money off of bloody hands. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Hang on, it's going to get worse. Isaiah 59:3, he said, you lied. America, of all places, is suffering from a decline, listen to this, in basic honesty.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Basic honesty. Now, everybody lied at one time or another. Don't say you hadn't. Police pulled you over. You say, you know why I pulled you over for? You say, no, sir. You lied. You lied. You know why he pulled you over. You'll be like me and be honest and plead for mercy. You lied to your wife. Does this dress make me look fat? No, ma'am. You knew if you was going to eat, you had to lie. Amen? Amen? Making a lie, basic honesty, if a man shook your hand when I was growing up and said, it's a deal, it was a deal. I mean, he would keep his word to his own hurt. Do you know what that means? If a man made you a promise, he would keep that promise even if he had to go without eating himself. And we've got a decline in America, just like in Isaiah's time, we've got a decline of basic honesty. When was the last time you bought an automobile? They made you sign 10 different papers. You bought a house, you had to have a lawyer there and a court attorney and everything else, and sign all kind of stuff. And then you got to talk to the bank. And basic honesty. You know why? All that stuff's been called because people are not honest. They lie to me all the time. Preacher, I'm coming to church. I'll be there. No. I don't see them. They ain't here today. Yeah. Amen. Basic honesty. That's just what you live by with your neighbor. They used to have fences. You knew where your property line was. It was that big old granite rock and that big old tree, and everybody knew it and nobody crossed it. And if they did, they apologized. Amen. Just basic honesty. Now, you can't hardly get the truth out of anybody in America. Isaiah 59:4, look at it. He said, none calls for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. The just, they trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You know what's wrong with them? They got wicked hearts. They have dishonest, wicked hearts. And our society, listen to this, I thought about this the other day. Our society tells us that private morality cannot be connected to public service. Do you know what that means? Well, just because that woman is a murderer and a crook, or that man's a liar and he's a thief, that doesn't have anything to do with him running for governor or president or whatever. Amen? They want to separate the two. It used to be if a politician or somebody run for office or wanted a high office in the land, they had to have the reputation of truth.
Amen.
Now, they had to have a reputation of good morals. Now, it don't matter anymore. You can't connect that to that. Well, he's been married 7 times. That don't matter. You can't put that on the ballot box. It doesn't matter that, see. One time he robbed a bank. Well, you can't put that on there, see, because that's your judgment. You're judging him, see. Public morality now, because of wicked hearts, they cannot be connected to public service. And public approval, listen to this now. You young people, listen to this. In our society, public approval validates bad morality. It says it's okay. Now, I don't watch CMA. I don't watch these award shows and all that. I don't watch that. But I've read some things, saw some things at the Country Music Awards last week, whenever it was. I don't know why you would have Beyonce at a Country Music Award thing. She's as far from country music. Mel Tillis would turn over in his grave if he heard her sing. And she come out there and disrespecting police and disrespecting our government and making fun of Christianity. And some, there's still some old-fashioned country music people in there got mad about.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. They got mad about it. And then the press jumped on and said, you can't judge her. She's black.
I don't care if she's purple. By the way, she ain't black. She's only half black. She's brown. And you can't say nothing. She is expressing her freedom. Well, she could have kept it to herself. We didn't want to hear it. But since she's famous and since she's rich, she can dance any way she wants to and dress any way she wants to, and her and the Dixie Chicks can say anything they want to, and they're dead wrong and everybody knows it, but since they're famous and they're rich, that it must be okay. Amen. America's decline from basic honesty. A private morality cannot be connected to public service. Public approval validates wrong behavior. Look at the movie stars. Look at the rap stars. Look at the rock stars, the country stars, the politicians, the religious leaders. It doesn't matter how they live. As long as they're successful, it must be all right. Don't get quiet on me now. I don't even know who your rap star is, and I still don't like her. I don't know who your country star is. I don't like them either. Amen. They're all corrupt. And listen, our nation has three generations that's been influenced by these people simply because they're successful. We're afraid to say anything about them wrong, even if they're wrong. Because public position repudiates anything we say. Goes against anything we say. And public position validates what they say. We got two of the sorriest examples of American citizenship running for president. And I'm voting for a party and a platform. I'm not voting for a person. I'm voting for the party that's against murder, abortion. I'm voting for the party that's for traditional biblical marriage. I'm voting for the party that's for defense. I'm voting for the party that's pro-American, not pro-Arab or something like that. That's the party I'm voting for. And that man happens right now to be the head of that party I'm voting for. But I'm telling you this, two generations ago, he wouldn't even be on the ballot. And she'd be in jail. Just two generations ago. You say, preacher, I'm a Democrat. They've helped me a lot. You know, my mama come to live through the Great Depression, and she voted Democrat all her life because she said that they helped her through the Great Depression. I said, Mama, that ain't the same party that you grew up with. Amen. It's a bunch of racists and revolutionaries. Right. Preacher, you ought not say that. They're going to cut off my welfare check. Ain't nobody cutting off your check. Ain't nobody said they're going to cut off your check. And by the way, even if they would, we ought to be honest to our own hurt.
Amen.
Don't leave now. It'll get better. You say, preacher, tell me something. All this going on, what caused it? Well, look at verse 5. Isaiah 59, verse 5. By the way, I'm doing this because you're voting. You better vote. If you don't, then you need to just shut up and be quiet and sit there and take whatever you get. Isaiah 59, verse 5. By the way, I never have been politically correct, have I? If I ever get that way, would somebody slap some sense into me? Look at verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spiders' webs. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which crusheth breaketh out into a viper. You know what they are? It's a continual diet of something that's going to kill you. And in our country, it's a diet of deception. We have been deceived. We've been deceived. We've been deceived by both political parties. And now there's an elitist class up there, and they don't ever leave their ivory tower. They don't need guns because, see, they got gates and guards. They don't live way down in the country out there where if anybody ever... They could kill you, Brother Holroyd, and your body be laying down there 3 weeks where everybody ever knew you was dead. I mean, he lives so far away, God... Hey, listen, God never told the devil where he lives. The devil don't even know where his house is. I mean, he lives at the end of the world, man. But they live in those ivory palaces, and they have guards and guns, and we've been deceived, man. We have been deceived. Lies, all these philosophies that they hatch out through these, I call them incubators.
You know what an incubator is? That's where you put an egg to hatch it. And there's all these lies been hatched on us, and they're still being hatched. I thought about this, materialism. We grew up and we were taught that to be successful, you got to be rich. There's a lot of successful people that's not rich.
Right.
Amen. Three or four generations. By the way, my generation, we were supposed to be the ones that was against all that. You know, hippie, flowers, live in the woods, you know, get you a farm, you know. And now it's turned around. The rap singers, they got gold teeth, brother. Gold teeth. Ring on every finger. They can't even make a fist. They got so many rings and chains and drive fancy cars and all that. We have been deceived to think that to have everything, you're all right. Well, I got news for you. A lot of wicked, pitiful people have a lot of stuff, and they're going to die alone and without God, and it's going to be a pitiful sight at the funeral. And they've got all that stuff that we've been deceived by. Humanism has deceived us. It started when we were in school. And what it says is humanity can fix it all. We can fix this stuff. The Beatles sang, you know, imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Well, that's humanism. That's saying you don't need a God. God messes stuff up. We can fix it all. So we made the United Nations. Now, that's the most corrupt organization in the world, the United Nations.
Yes.
Humanism ain't going to fix it. You go down here to these rehab places and you look at these people that's been pushing needles in their arms and snorting stuff up their nose and drinking a fifth of liquor or two every day. And you look down there and you say, oh, we can make it. You're going to be all right. And they'll look at you and they'll say, I've been trying to make it for years and I'm about to die. I need something else. We've been deceived by humanism. We've been deceived by this liberalism stuff. Now the word liberal is in the Bible. And what it means is giving spirit. But they've turned it into a religion. And now it's anti-God, and it's anti-Bible, and it's anti-home, and it's anti-family, and it's anti-right, and it's all about wrong, and liberalism has taken over our universities. It has. And it's a whole new, even our seminaries, I call them cemeteries. If you go in one of those places with some faith, it won't be long, they'll kill it. They'll kill it because they're humanists too, and they're liberals, and they look at us and they say dinosaur, old-fashioned, fanatic, bigot, prejudice. That's what they call us because we believe the Bible. And that stuff, hey, it is destroying our country. And then he talked about spiders there. That's a web, man. He says they're going to get caught in this web, a web of drugs and alcohol, a web of immorality. It's got to the point where you can't try to help anybody in any way, because if you do, they're all, most people's tangled up in that web of deceit, and they look at you and you become the enemy. When you love them and you're trying to help them and you're trying to tell them how to get out of it, Brother Rick, you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Our society teaches us now that because you quote them a little scripture, you say a prayer with them, you try to get them to God, then you're wrong, see.
Yeah,
that's our nation. It's a nation in crisis, the nation that's founded on the Word of God. And then listen, Isaiah 59 down through verse 12, and I ain't got time to read it all, but he talks about the truth. Look at verse 13. In transgressing lie against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14, judgments turned away backward, justice standeth far off. Why? Because truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Did you know they have trashed the truth?
Yes.
They have trashed the truth. He said, because they've trashed the truth, justice stands way over here. Because judgment can't enter. You can't have justice till you have judgment. And now if you got judgment, you're wrong. But justice can't come until a decision's made by judgment. That's falling in the street.
And our nation's that way. Truth has fallen. What was truth is now called a lie, and what was a lie is now called the truth. And people look at you now and say, you can't talk like that. You must be a bigot. That's a lie. Ain't nobody going to hell. We're all good. No, we're not all good. We're all not good. We need a Savior. But now they've turned it around to where a truth is a lie and a lie is a truth. And now, we're even in our politics, we're voting for people who we know are liars. But we have no choice because truth is gone. We're in a crisis, folks. We're in a bad spot. It ain't dead. Truth ain't dead. It's still here. I got it right here. But it's falling in the street. Ain't many people picking it up anymore. Not many people quoting it anymore. The Bible says that God's word is truth. Ephesians 1:13, I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 1:13, he says he said, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth." You got saved because you heard the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad somebody had enough God on them to give me the truth. Amen. The Holy Spirit's referred to as the truth. Jesus referred to himself as the truth. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." The church in 1 Timothy 3:15 is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is where truth is supposed to abide and preside right here.
Amen.
This is supposed to be the pillar. And how many churches you know like that now? It's the pillar and ground of materialism. It's the pillar and ground of entertainment. But we're supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Apostle John said in 3 John 1:4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth."
Amen.
The greatest joy I have, Brother Billy, is knowing that my children live by the Word of God.
Amen.
And yet, in our nation, truth, the Word of God, not their truth. You see, their truth is whatever's convenient.
Yeah.
"Well, I love this guy, so we're going to get married. Don't matter if I'm a guy. It's convenient. This is what I want to do. Well, I love this girl, and it don't matter that I'm a girl. I'm going to marry her anyway because it's convenient. That's what I feel like. It's my feelings, see. Well, I don't care. Hey, I don't care if robbing you of your taxes to pay my rent when I should be working a job myself. It's convenient and it's easy, so that must be the truth." Truth has fallen in the street. Now, here's my sermon. I got 5 minutes. Turn there, John 17:17. John 17:17. Turn there. And you already know it. And I've quoted it. "Sanctify them through thy truth." What's the last four words? "Thy word is truth." Now, in order to fix this situation, we've got to rededicate ourselves to the truth.
Amen.
My wife has a little boy in her class that would rather climb a tree and tell a lie than to stand flat footed on the ground and tell the truth. It's the truth. That's truth. He told her the other day, she was talking about where you go to church. He said, "I go to your church." She said, "You don't go to my church." He said, "I do. I go to your church." And she couldn't get him to admit he didn't go to this church. Yeah, we wish he did. But see, that's the society that he's grown up in. Everybody around him is lying. He's being lied to about where he lives and the situation he lives in and the way he's being raised and about our society as a whole. He's been lied to about. Now he's in the second grade and lying like this. What's it going to be like when they reach the 12th grade? We have to rededicate ourselves to the truth, and thy word is truth. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and some of you know it, if you bring your friends here, I promise you we're going to give them the truth.
We're not all wrapped up in denominational ties. We don't have a guidebook from the local denomination that we're going to go by. We don't have some popular preacher on television sending us stuff to do. We're going to go by the blessed old book. Amen? The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Amen? And in this church, it's going to be the old KJV. It's been around 400 years. It's been working. Why you want to change it now? Amen? I'll tell you, because when you take truth and you mix it with error, then it messes up the book. So won't you just leave the book like it was? Well, I can't understand all those old words. It wouldn't hurt you to buy a dictionary. Amen? And I'd hate to admit that I didn't have enough sense to look up in the dictionary a word that I couldn't understand. I read words in the paper sometimes I can't understand. Don't use that for an excuse around here. Thy word is truth. Now, if our nation is in a crisis, we need a final authority. Yes. You know, I vote Republican, but the Republican Party is not my final authority. Amen. That ain't where I go to get my answers. There's a bunch of lying crooks in there too, buddy. And I ain't a Trumpite, but I do like that term, drain the swamp. All of them ought to be took out of there. Start all over. If a house is rotten, tear it down. Build a new house. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. Thy word is truth. We need to, if we're going to save our nation, there's some people in this country have to rededicate themselves to the Word of God as their final authority. Now, Rick, I like you, and sometimes me and you probably will disagree, and you're a nice enough guy, you won't even tell me. He is. He's a nice guy. As some of y'all tell me, but he won't tell me. But you see, I'm not your final authority, and you ain't mine. We can disagree, and one of us can be right, and the other one can be wrong. But you can never disagree with that book and be right.
Amen. Yeah. And that's good preaching. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Here's another thing we need. Proverbs 23:23. Hold on. It's just about over. The Methodists are already leaving, shaking the preacher's hand. Proverbs 23:23. Look at it. I'm talking about a crisis in our country that we have got to fix. And you say, well, preacher, there ain't but a handful of people here. Well, it's got to start somewhere.
Amen.
Jesus had 12.
Amen.
And the Bible says they turned the world upside down.
Yes,
we got more than 12 here. Amen. Look at Proverbs 23:23. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Get hold to the truth and don't ever let it go. We're not supposed to go by popular opinion. I don't care what a poll says. I don't care what Hollywood says. By the way, just because you're a famous movie star doesn't mean I give a flip what your opinion is. Just because you can read music and sing a song, that doesn't mean I care about your political opinion.
Amen.
Just because you can bounce a basketball, hit a baseball, or carry a football does not make you important to me.
Amen.
And that's who's running our nation, people like that. Just because you're a politician that's woven a web throughout the whole world of crookedness and deception and corruption, and you got political ties everywhere in the world, that doesn't make you important to me.
Amen. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
If a president or a presidential candidate came here today, I'd treat him just like any other man because he's nothing but a man.
Amen.
And listen, if he'll obey the truth, I'll love him. If he won't, I ain't going to have nothing to do with him. So we've got to get back to the truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. This is the most important book I have ever owned in my life. I've got a lot of books. I've read a lot of books, gave them away. I've probably given away more books than most you've ever owned. I've read them and given them on, passed them on. But I'm going to tell you the truth. There's only one infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. And there it lays right there. That's God speaking directly from His mind to us. We'll fight for it. We'll be willing to die for it. Our forefathers did. They didn't fight because they wanted to take an acre of land away from an Indian, as we have been told. They fought because they stood for freedom in Christ to worship God in spirit and truth the way they thought the Bible taught them to do it. And if you didn't like that and you hated what they said, it was because the Bible said it. And listen, they fought and died for that.
Yes.
We got Christians now that wouldn't fight for anything.
Amen.
That's true.
What they used to call them, lily-livered, spineless, pussy-footing, like a little pussy cat just tipping around. Scared they're going to upset somebody, wake somebody up. Hey, whatever happened to stand up for Jesus. Amen. Whatever happened to onward Christian soldiers. Amen. Militant Christianity. And if we don't stand for the Word of God, we don't stand for the infallible truth, who else is going to do it? The denominations are gone. There's not a mainline denomination left. They started out good, and now they're gone. They've corrupted and they've been infiltrated by people that don't believe the truth, much less preach or practice the truth. Last verse. Presbyterians done got in the steakhouse. John 8:32. Turn over. John 8:32. Real quick. I'm telling you, I could preach you Joel Osteen's sermon today and tell you everything's going to be all right and everything's going to be successful and everything's beautiful in its own way. Oh, that was a Ray Stevens song, wasn't it? Same thing. That's the same way he preaches. But I've got news for you. We are a nation in crisis, and if the church doesn't wake up, and by church I mean you, put your name right there. By church, I mean every believer. If we don't wake up, the truth is falling in the street and justice cannot enter because judgment stands afar off. Nobody's saying anything.
Right.
So there's no justice. Look at John chapter 8. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, he says, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we're a nation in crisis. And if you can bury your head in sand if you want to, but we're losing our freedoms. Now, I'm not a racist. Anybody knows me knows better than that. But if you want to fly a rebel flag, I don't give a hoot. Fly your rebel flag. It's a free country. Amen. If you want to fly a flag from Poland, you probably get a lot of Polish jokes, but I don't care. Fly your flag from Poland. You look like you might come from Poland. Did your ancestors come from over there? He's a hillbilly. He don't know where they come from. But listen, our freedoms are being gradually taken away. You know why, Brother Ron? Nobody will jump up and grab that old book and say, thus saith the Lord, and come hell or high water, on this I'll stand, and you can shoot me, you can put me in jail. Hey, you can call me a bigot or a racist or a homophobe or an Islamophobe or whatever, xenophobe, and all them other phobes they got now. There's a bunch of stupid phobes running the government. You call me whatever you want to. This is still the Word of God, and I'll stand on it, and if that puts me in jail, go ahead and get me a place, because I'll go to jail. If that loses my friends, I lose my friends. If that loses my family, I lose my family. If that loses my job, I lose my job. Hey, if that loses me my position in society, I lose my position. Truth has departed. We're a nation in crisis. And I don't know who you're going to vote for. I do care. I really do. And we don't have any great choices. You know, when Ronald Reagan come on saying he wasn't a perfect man, he'd been divorced and remarried, and they made a big deal over that divorce and remarried. Now, it don't matter. Stuff like that don't matter anymore. But he was a great American. And we had some that ran into primaries who were great Americans. They didn't make it because they didn't know how to dog eat dog. And that's what it takes now. Doesn't matter what the truth is. Who's got the most money? Who's got the biggest mouth? Who's got the most powerful organization behind them? But we're in a crisis, and we better pray. And I'm serious. We better get, because I got grandchildren growing up. And it's certain right now, when our current president went in office 8 years ago, and I never would have thought he'd get the second one, but when he said, I'm going to fundamentally change America, we had no idea what he was talking about. And he has greatly succeeded, and he wants to go on another 8 years. And I don't know what would happen if the other guy gets in there, and I'm not telling you nothing. I'm just telling you this. Truth is falling in the street, and we better get right with God, and we better pray, and we better go by the Word of God, not our feelings, not our emotions, not a government check, not a government organization, not a personality, not charisma, but by the truth of the Word of God. And listen, our nation has to get back to the truth, or there is no justice, because judgment cannot enter because they won't let the Word of God in.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
I looked at Rhett had a birthday. My grandson Rhett down in Florida. He had his fifth birthday party yesterday, and I looked at pictures of it, and I saw him and Greer and Edda Marie and little Gloria Ruth there. And I thought, God help us. I mean, we are persecuted and put down and lied on and belittled for what we believe. And if they inherit what we believe like we want them to, what's it going to be like for them if things don't get back to the truth? And I'm not against anybody. I don't hate anybody. There are probably some people hate me, but I don't hate anybody. And I don't belittle people because of their situation or their place in society or their feelings or how they've even been misled. But I would like for America to get back to God.
Amen.
Amen. And if it does that, the truth's got to be stood on the Word of God.
Yes.
When I go to that voting booth, I'm voting on the closest thing I can get to truth.
Amen.
Not my feelings. Not my emotions, not popular opinion, not opinion poll, but where does this candidate stand alongside the truth of the Word of God? And I've got to vote sometimes lesser of two evils. There's some good ones still in there, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to vote, and yeah, he might be a liar. He might be an adulterer. But then I look on the other side and I see what's going on there and I say, well, that ain't great, but that's sickening and that's closer to biblical truth than what that is, so I'm going to vote for the closest to biblical truth.
Amen. Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to be happy with it. But I'm praying and hoping that we'll get back to the truth in our churches.
Right.
And by the way, this is the place that let it fall in the street, these churches. Churches have let it fall in the street. And they've done it for humanism, popularity, money. If our churches don't get the truth, get back to the truth, and our Christians don't get back to the truth, America's gone. And everybody knows I'm not a doomsdayer. I like to see a silver lining, and there is one. If my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. He said, then I'll answer their prayers. You know what I'm going to do before I go in that voting booth? I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to search my heart.
Amen.
If there's any unconfessed sin, I'm going to confess it before I get in that booth. You say, well, that ain't the way we vote. I know it. That's why we got where we are today. I'll be honest with you. The silver lining is either we do that or the trumpet sounds. And I'd rather the trumpet sound. If you ask me to vote on that, I'll vote on that. But either way, listen, we have come to a crisis, a crossroads in our country. And I'm not against anybody. I don't hate Hillary Clinton. I hate what she does. I don't hate the Democratic Party. I hate what how they have manipulated whole races of people and made slaves out of them. I don't love the Republican Party. I don't love Donald Trump. I love Jesus. And I love the Word of God. And I want to get back to that. And if I can find a politician, get me back there, they'll get my vote. But until then, I'm going to get as close as I can. You say, preacher, I draw disability and I'm scared if I vote that way, I'm going to lose my disability. No, I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. God will take care of you. Nobody said we're going to shut nothing down. Nobody said we're going to stop that. We've got to get back to the truth. We're in a web of wickedness. And we must get back to the Word of God. You know, and I know it's late. Some of you ain't coming back tonight anyway. It would shock you how many Christians don't even read the Bible anymore. You take all your advice from the internet or television. It would shock you to know how many people that claim to be Christians never even read through the Word of God. Yes. It would shock you how many children of Christian homes have never seen mom and daddy open a Bible. Right. Getting personal now, ain't it? But that's where it's at, right there. Not my brother, it's not my sister, oh Lord, but it's me standing in need of prayer. We're at a crossroads. We've got to do something. But on the other hand, if it turns out wrong, God's still God. Heaven's still there. Jesus still sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. He'll take care of us. Don't matter who's in the White House, it's who's in the big house. Amen. And do I allow Him at my house? That's what will make a difference, no matter who's in the White House. Let's stand. Father, I hadn't preached much about salvation today. I pray if there's one among us today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, today they'd realize, Lord, that they have been deceived by the devil and they need to come to the Savior.